Welcome to the meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature for a public hearing only with respect to the 2018 proposed budget. It's been through quite a rendition of meetings that we've held as a legislature, and we want to hear from the public tonight. If you want to speak, I'd ask that you please fill out one of the blue cards in the back of the room and pass it forward. I'll read you the only first mention, of course, if you have electronic devices, would you please silence them? And if there should be a fire or other emergency, the exits are to my right in the back of the room and to my left in the front of the room. In case of a fire, please don't use the elevator. Rules for speaking tonight are that any individual may speak for no longer than 3 minutes. You're not to raise your voice or use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a peace. A speaker is not permitted to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, a speaker will leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. A speaker will not cause a disruption, and if asked to leave, will leave the chambers. Written materials may be submitted to the clerk of the legislature. Personnel matters, as a note, should be directed to the relevant department and or supervisor, or in the case of a department head, to the county administrator. Except for the county administrator, county attorney, finance director, and clerk of the legislature, which should be then directed to the chair of the legislature. There's a countdown clock to my left. When you start speaking, it will start counting down. At the end of 3 minutes, if you're still speaking, there will be an audible ring sound, and please conclude at that point. There's a couple more chairs over here on my right. The first card I have is...
Will privilege of the floor be after this public hearing?
No. The public hearing is the privilege. Actually, before we start, I'm going to turn to the chair of the Budget Committee, Jim Dennis, who will give some preliminary... remarks about the budget tonight, and then we will begin the calling, and you'll have your 3 minutes each person. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Mike. We're here to listen to comments about the 2018 budget. The county ledge has spent 2 months taking the county administrator's budget that was built to a 2.4 levy increase, and we have looked at that and dealt with something what we call OTRs, which are over-target requests by every department of the county. And we looked at over 50 of them and funded almost all of them, which left us with enough money left to actually reduce the levy that the budget was built of the county administrator budget. So we came in with something less than a 2.4 increase. And not always being the smartest guy in the room, I do understand why there are so many people here. And I have something prepared that I wanted to say about that. For those of you who are here to discuss the county's commitment to the Office of Human Rights, I want to provide some clarity and assurance. First, the requested budget amount for OHR is exactly the same to the penny as was requested by the office. In fact, the budget funds of all the so-called over-target requests, which I spoke about earlier, which means requests to spend in excess of the baseline budget issued by the county administrator. Simply put, this department, OHR, and almost all the others got exactly what they asked for during this whole budget process. The office will be fully funded, fully staffed. There are four positions provided for in this budget, including the director. That means Tompkins County will continue to be the most generous county in New York State with respect to funding a human rights office. We will remain one of the 13 of the 57 counties outside New York City to fund a human rights office. 75% of the counties do not have an office at all. Of those who do, we spend nearly twice as much per capita that on a per capita basis than any other county in the state. Between 2014 and 2016, our average annual spending was about $2.70 per capita. The next highest spending, Nassau, was about $1.58 per capita. We spent nearly twice as much per capita as the next highest county spending. Only two other counties in the entire state spent over $1 per capita. And according to the data compiled by our own Office of Human Rights, there are just 28 people employed by human rights offices in all of the counties outside of New York State. Four of them work for us. So one out of every seven county human rights employees in New York State works for Tompkins County. The bottom line is that we're, whether measured by budget or staffing levels, we stand head and shoulders above any other county in New York State in terms of our commitment to the OHR. As budgets are the way governments demonstrate their priorities, I think it's pretty clear that the county continues to value the office and mission of human rights. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jim. Let's start with comments, if we may. If I should mispronounce anyone's name, please correct me when you get to the microphone. It's not intentional. Gibran Haygood.
Jabron
Haygood. Thank you.
Jabron Haygood. Sorry. I just want to take this time to tell you about my experience with the Human Rights Commission under the leadership of Karen Bears. I had faced some housing discrimination here at Ithaca. And for a person of color, it was very important to have someone at the leadership of color. The numbers that you just gave are it's fantastic. The statistics are great. But it doesn't mean anything if a person who is leading the agency is not willing or seems to represent the community that has come to them. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times these agencies are headed by Caucasian white males or white females. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's very uncomfortable sometimes to have someone, a Caucasian person at the head of the realm to talk about a discrimination issue. It was very comforting to have Ms. Bears and Xavier there because it just made me tell my story just a little bit better and just and so the reason why I'm here, and I'm a little nervous, so I do apologize to that, is in support of Karen, but also in support of if keeping the human rights, and I know he just said the money's, you're not changing the budget for the Human Rights Commission, and it's going to remain the same, but I think the leadership is what I'm discussing. I think that's very important to have a person of color in that leadership role. So I'm here in support of Mrs. Bears and in the human rights office here. Thank you.
Thank you. Amanda Kirch-Gessner and then Karen Bear.
Good evening. Just because we spend money on the Human Rights Office doesn't mean we believe in human rights. Just because we spend more than other counties and other counties don't have these offices doesn't mean we give a lick about human rights. I can point to countless families that I know personally of color that have been pushed out of the city they grew up in. You know, my family might not be of color, but we're not of affluence either, and we lost our hold on the house we had in the city many, many years ago. The costs are going up. It's harder and harder to get by, and I look around, and I don't see much diversity sitting at this table. It's a little crushing, honestly. you know, it breaks my heart because we shouldn't be here talking about this. We should be talking about funding a 24-hour crisis center in the city for people who do wind up on the brink in a moment when, you know, the hospital's not going to meet their needs. Our homeless shelters are full. They weren't full 2 years ago. You know, and you finally have an agency that's working and helping people, and you put a muzzle on it, you pull the teeth out, like, it makes no sense unless you don't believe in their mission of human rights. It's a basic principle, people. It's a very basic principle. I didn't have a choice in my conception. I don't think any of you did. And if you don't have right to housing, if you don't have a right to food, you know, just the basics, what kind of people are we? You know, I grew up in a city that called itself enlightened, you know. I guess I grew up in the sticks of Enfield, rather. And that's where most of the crime happens in the county, as I understand it these days. And Enfield's getting poorer and poorer. You know, I guess we've finally found some solar development that wants to go in up there, but, you know, that's a pittance, really. Kind of a slap in the face, because there's so much potential here. There's so many smart people who care and work hard. I know so many people who work hard, but guess what? They're not the wealthy people. They're the poor people that are trying to pay the rent. So please, allow this office to do what it does and help people who are in this position because people have put them there and kept them there for their own advantage.
Thank you. Karen Baer. Karen Baer, then Liz Brundage.
I'm going to read my prepared statement. My name is Karen Baer, and I live in the town of Ithaca. In the early 1600s, my ancestors came from Africa to New Amsterdam, a Dutch settlement in the New World. We now call it Manhattan. They came on a slave ship, and their master was the Dutch West India Company. After decades of servitude, my ancestors were freed and given 30 acres of land to farm in order to provide sustenance for their families. We call what sits on that land today Madison Square Gardens. Unfortunately, my ancestors' opportunity to accumulate wealth was quashed when New Amsterdam passed a law preventing free blacks from transferring their property to their black heirs. So my ancestors moved to New Jersey, where they had the opportunity to own land again. Historical documents also show they served in the Revolutionary War and knew how to read and write. But eventually, the state of New Jersey made it unlawful for free blacks to own land, and my ancestors' opportunities again came to a halt. Out of necessity, they became pioneers, migrating north up the Mohawk Valley Trail. Along the way, they became the first people of color to help found Seventh-day Baptist churches in New York State. Tragically, however, by the mid-19th century, my ancestors no longer owned land. Census data described them as laborers and paupers and unable to read and write. Many served or died fighting for Union forces during the Civil War. I tell you this story because it is also my story. In September of 2013, I came to Tompkins County after being given the opportunity to be the Director of Human Rights. Doing human rights work has been my life, and I have done it well. And nothing that is said by others behind closed doors to besmirch my character or question my abilities changes that. And I believe that my efforts and the work of the Office of Human Rights will live on regardless of the systemic attempts to render OHR staff and their work invisible. True story. On May 16, 2017, Xavier, OHR's African American paralegal aide, and I presented the office's new safe space training video to the Tompkins County Legislature. Prior to the showing, the video, we shared with legislators six or seven other LGBTQ initiatives OHR had been engaged in during the year. For nearly 30 minutes, we sat in these chambers to showcase our good work. So you may be shocked to know that if you visit the county website to look up the legislature's official approved minutes of that meeting, you will not see one mention of OHR's presentation, our achievements, or any indication that Xavier and I were present at that meeting. My story and those of my ancestors are not isolated ones. In many ways, it has become the never-ending story of racism in America. And I dare say, as I look around the room, that there are many similar stories to be told. But I am standing here to tell you that the absence of opportunities for persons of color is no coincidence. Disenfranchisement is not the result of uncontrolled variables or non-diverse applicant pools or happenstance. It is the result of deliberate and orchestrated strategies executed by people in power, whether they be historical or happening in real time. Strategies intended to exclude, oppress, and disappear people of color. And as long as others stay silent, these strategies of oppression succeed. And yes, I'm standing here because I need my job back, and I desire to be reunited with my staff, but I also ask that you help me press for real change in how we address complaints of discrimination and how we protect people who give voice to them. Retaliation is not an option. We must do better, and my hope in the end is that we reach consensus about the increasingly vital role that human rights protections play, not only for persons of color, but for everyone in this county. And that we, as a community, meet one necessary condition: sustained grassroots support for human rights promotion and protection, and a government that is responsive to the voices of the people.
Thank you. Liz Brundage, I will say we wanted to hear that whole statement. I gave some extra time. The alarm didn't go off for some reason on our countdown, but that's all right. We wanted to hear that extra time, that whole statement. Liz Brundage, please.
Yes.
Then Talia Mugambi.
Good evening. My name's Liz Brundage. I'm a resident of the town of Caroline. And I've also been fortunate to have been a partner of the Office of Human Rights over the past 2 years. I just wanted to take this short time to add a small contribution to the chorus of public support for the institution of the Office of Human Rights under the leadership of Director Karen Baer and through the support of her wonderful staff, Kimberly Cornish, Xavier Rusk, Carmen Arroyo. In my own particularized work to combat gender-based violence, I've been so proud to talk in national fora across the country about the work of Tompkins County, about the fact that Tompkins County has not only adopted more resolutions recognizing freedom from domestic violence than any other community, but that it's also done more than any other community across the country to give meaningful effect to these resolutions, in fact, to bring human rights home. Tompkins County has been a true leader on these issues, and the Office of Human Rights, under Karen's direction, has led the county's implementation efforts. Just to give one example of OHR's influence in this area, the Model Domestic Violence in the Workplace Toolkit that Karen and her colleagues developed in collaboration with my students and other partners has been adapted and adopted by Cornell University, prompting a campus-wide public awareness campaign and training of more than 100 human resources officials on how to more effectively address domestic violence and its effects on employees. Cornell's the largest employer in Tompkins County, and so the impact of this initiative can't be understated. OHR has also offered invaluable counsel in my anti-discrimination legal work, and Karen has been an inspiring guest lecturer for my students. I've observed how deeply she's committed to addressing discrimination on the basis of race, disability, sexual orientation, and all other prohibited grounds, how she empowers her staff, and how she energizes community members. As a judge in the annual Human Rights Arts Competition, I've seen how OHR, on behalf of the county, prioritizes human rights education. These values of human dignity and equality that are embodied by the Office of Human Rights, by the county's stated commitment to diversity through inclusion, and by my own experience of collaboration with Karen and her staff, are honestly one of the main reasons that I moved into the county after my daughter was born. More than anything in these divisive and violent times, I want my daughter to be able to grow up in a community that courageously confronts the problems it faces and that's committed to making human rights a reality for all of its members. There's so much more that we all can do towards that end. I recognize, as it's been stated, that community members certainly have no role in personnel matters, but I just wanted to share my hope that we will have the opportunity to continue to benefit from Karen's important work and that of her colleagues, that the powers of the Office of Human Rights will be supported and strengthened over time, and that the legislature will continue to be a leader and a partner in our community's efforts to bring human rights home. Thank you.
Thank you. Taylee Mugambi,
please. Talee Mugambi.
Thank you.
I'm here on behalf of the Ultimate Reentry Opportunity Initiative. All praise be to all you folks out here for human rights. But URO is in general agreement with the alternatives to incarceration, but with recommendations for the spending. URO recommends that the hiring of another assistant DA results in flexibility in sentencing and intentional effort in improving and approving new ATIs that provide a holistic approach of care to individuals who come into contact with the criminal justice system. We would recommend that trauma-informed care be incorporated as the philosophical norm of care. Trauma-informed care means care that considers all the factors of a person's life experiences and utilizes that knowledge when handing down decisions that impact lives forever. The Family and Community Development Department of the Cornell Cooperative Extension is hosting a viewing of the highly acclaimed film titled Resilience, The Biology of Stress and the Science of Hope. If you want to learn more about trauma-informed care and engage in a discussion, this film is presented at the space at Green Star on November 17th from 5:30 to 7, and I do have flyers for that. As far as the reentry coordinator position, we are happy that the position of the criminal justice coordinator has been expanded to 3 years from 18 months. URO recommends that the county take an approach of equity and inclusion when making a selection of the person who will be key to the success of all of these ATIs and the development of future ATIs. This person should be a person who is respected in all communities to include women, poor people, communities of color, and the LGBT community. We recommend that this process be transparent so that the community can be fully engaged and part of the process. That to coincide with the recommendations of the Ithaca plan. Oh, I'm sorry. As far as the senior probation officer, URO recommends that this senior probation officer would really look at policies within the probation department and make a radical shift towards harm reduction policies that coincide with the Ithaca plan. If we truly want to reduce recidivism, we must stop sending people to jail for minor infractions or violations that are not causing true harm to our community or are part of policies that are unrealistic for the majority of the population given the obstacles people face when returning home in spite of their conditions. But we must also adjust to adjust what are termed violations with harm reduction as the core of our philosophy. We should not be just looking at Vivitrol as a solution to the opioid addiction program but we should highly consider Suboxone as well. It's FDA approved. URO recommends that the sequential mapping project that would support reentry coordination exhaust inquiry into all services available in Tompkins County to ensure that service providers are at the table or addressed as part of the mapping process if the provider is at all a service option. Can I get one more minute, please?
Go ahead.
All right.
Yes, I'll give you one more minute.
All right. Lastly, URO recommends that we take the time to develop a strategy where all of the people of Tompkins County win. This means that the process is methodical, is driven by universal best practices and considers impact for seven generations. URO asked the county to please find its conscience and to set a precedent for how we operate moving forward. The actions of our county, of our state, and of our nation by and large have been driven by economics. If we can change this paradigm to be driven by the needs of all human beings, the benefit will be economic vitality and sustainability for our county. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I have three more cards. Please, if you'd like to speak, fill out a card and send it forward so you can get in the line here to do that. Next, I have Ruth Yarrow and then Dick Frank.
Thank you for listening to us this evening. I appreciate a legislature that listens. I'm here in support of the Office for Human Rights. I think it's probably one of the most important things for our county at this point because of the disparity in income and the difficulty of finding housing at a reasonable price. This is my third time living in Ithaca. I came in the early 60s as a graduate student when people who were service workers lived downtown, the flats, we called it. Came back in late 70s through the 80s into the 90s. We raised our family on Hancock Street and were delighted to find a community that was diverse where our kids could grow up. Now I'm back as a widow. My kids have returned to this town and looking for somewhere to live. It's very different. And I see so many people pushed out. There are ways that we can systematically make it more possible for people with low income to have decent housing close to their jobs. And I admire what the Office for Human Rights has done under the leadership of Karen Bayer. Thank you.
Thank you. Dick Frank.
My name is Dick Franke, and I'm a retired anthropology professor from New Jersey. Along with my wife, Barbara Chasen, moved up to the Eco Village here at Ithaca because when I retired, I wanted to spend the last part of my life doing something meaningful. And while I have spent most of my time working on environmental issues because of where I live, I've also found Ithaca and Tompkins County a place where an unusually large percentage of people are sensitive to the questions of racial inequality. And because of that, I indirectly became involved with the project of SURGE, the local group called Showing Up for Racial Justice, which wanted to develop a study on structural racism in Tompkins County. Structural racism, as I'm sure you're all aware, is the sort of silent form that racism takes. It's not somebody yelling obscenities at people of color or the kind of organized Ku Klux Klan or white nationalist organizations that we see in the media, but the kind of silent processes that go on day by day through the ordinary workings of society and which actually don't even require the continued existence of actual racists for them, these processes to continue. Mm-hmm. And in doing the research, which is still not complete, I ran across a study called the Analysis of Impediments to Fair Housing Choice. Now, this report concerns the city of Ithaca in particular, but it was prepared, according to the document itself, by the Office of Human Rights of Tompkins County and it says Karen Bayer is the director listed as the first author. This is a really valuable report, and it's the kind of report that we don't see done very often. It actually highlights 9 different processes by which people are deprived of fair housing, perhaps despite the intent, the best intents of people who have put up all this funding for human rights. And I think that the kind of person who could direct and develop a report like this is the kind of person that we need in these offices in our community.
Ilan Shapiro, or Ilan?
Hi, my comments will be brief. We heard one perspective is that the legislature has been consistently prioritizing and supporting the Office of Human Rights. And ever since this story broke, I've connected to different people who are related to the day-to-day workings of the Office of Human Rights, and I get a different picture from them, and that's why I'm here. I've been told that when complaints about the treatment of people in the reports that have come out from Human Rights Office have not been received with full attention and full responses, that complaints about issues of human rights haven't been effectively been dealt with when they've been reported, and that there hasn't been transparency about some of these issues that have plagued this office for some time now. So I put my trust in the people that I've heard about, their reputation that I've met, who are consistently involved in it, and I think it's time for something to get clarified here, because I hear a very dedicated staff and a very dedicated leader, and somehow or other the rug has been pulled under it, and we as a group of people living here need to know why. We don't see the kind of commitment that we're hearing when we see this thing happening. So we need a better explanation and a better level of transparency about it. Thank you.
Tom Spadafora Monsetto.
Good evening. I've lived off and on in the town of Ithaca since 1995. When I first came to Ithaca, I had the opportunity to be a volunteer commissioner with the Office of Human Rights in the mid-90s. And at that time, the Office of Human Rights in Tompkins County was one of the leaders in New York State in advocating and responding to abuses that people were experiencing in human rights. And under the leadership of Karen Bayer now in 2013 and to date, that same office has been able to create a safe space and speak truths and advocate for people who experience human rights abuses every day. And I would hate to see someone as skilled and talented and courageous as Karen lose her position because of what that office, her office or she advocates for and what she does as the director of the Office of Human Rights. And I know I'm not trying to address personnel issues, but I hope that we will remember that the Office of Human Rights has to create a space where people feel they are safe and can come and receive, be heard, and be represented in a way that's effective, and where they feel they are listened to and represented in a way that addresses the abuses that they experience. Also, I've had the opportunity through different volunteer positions to work with Karen and be exposed to her intelligence, her integrity, and her skills. And again, I just want to speak in support of the work that she's done since 2013. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm down to two cards. Again, a call. If any of you want to speak, please fill out a blue card and send it forward. Kate Cardona.
Hi, my name is Kate Cardona. I'm with Ithaca Showing Up for Racial Justice, or SURGE, and I'm going to read a statement that we wrote collectively as a coordinating team for SURGE. The Ithaca Showing Up for Racial Justice coordinating team is deeply concerned about the removal of Tompkins County Office of Human Rights Director Karen Baer from her position on October 13, 2017. It is our understanding that Karen was abruptly taken out of her office by county human resources employees who did not know why she was being removed, only that they were, quote unquote, just following orders. We can only imagine how violating this must have felt to Karen and the OHR employees who bore witness to it, and the potential for lasting trauma that this action could engender. Karen has been a long time and steadfast supporter of human rights and the only person of color who served as department head in the county. In a powerful opinion piece in the Ithaca Voice on September 26th, she shared how difficult this work has been at the county level, stating that, to be frank, OHR has struggled to get support for bringing human rights home initiatives from county officials. At every turn, we have been met with strong resistance, taking place for the most part behind closed doors. We are troubled that Karen was removed weeks after the publication of her article, despite assurances from the county that it had nothing to do with her termination. When contacted, legislators have relayed that this termination is a personnel issue and that they are not legally permitted to share why Karen was abruptly removed from her position. So while there are pieces of the story that we don't know, we do know the following. This is not the first time that the county legislature has attempted to weaken the OHR. Very few people know the actual reason for Karen's termination. Karen was the only person of color who served as a department head and took a courageous risk by speaking out about the legislature's lack of adequate action around local human rights issues. Karen's literal physical removal from her office was abrupt, disrespectful, and potentially traumatic, and mirrors other forms of state violence against people of color. The OHR is staffed entirely by people of color who witnessed their supervisor be treated in a severely disrespectful manner. They were told not to say anything about it and are now left with an increased workload and stress. A white man with dubious credentials, Jonathan Wood, has been appointed interim director of OHR. History has shown time and time again that when people of color, and particularly women of color, speak truth to power, their voices are shut down and they often face dire consequences. And in 2016, 9 people of color left employment with the county. While we can't be sure of the reasons for this, African American county employees ranked as one of 3 groups that rated most or all categories negatively on the 2016 Tompkins County Workplace Climate Survey. I'm almost done. Can I finish? Thanks.
Go ahead, finish.
It is our opinion that as a whole, the TC legislature has not done enough to address racial and economic injustice in the county and is now actively preventing it from coming to fruition. This is extremely concerning to us as the SURGE coordinating team and should be to all residents who care about racial justice, human rights, and government accountability. We demand better. We support and stand in solidarity with all OHR employees and with Karen Baer, and we hope that they will see justice. Thanks.
Thank you. Jeffrey, is it Bergfalk?
That's good.
Hello. My name is Jeffrey Bergfalk. I'm with the People's School, and I want to voice my support, our full-throated support, for the Office of Human Rights. My prompt and persistent impression of that office has been one of utter intelligence, competence. I'm struck by how informed they are, how human they are, and I have to wonder on an evening like this if that wasn't, in fact, finally their offense. Because at the level of formal and informal governance, the choices that we are making in this town are one of the most expensive cities in the nation to live in. By some measures, we're right up there with New York City. Number 10, number 11, vacancy rates are sometimes down below 1%. So those are the choices we as a community are making. And in this moment, I mean, we heard also, these are the distinctions of Ithaca. We heard some other distinctions, but among our other distinctions are that we have no end source of income discrimination legislation. That's another distinction of this town. And when we have a powerful, smart office working on these issues, our choice is to hassle them. Okay, so I think at some level we might look at this as, okay, you know, they're sort of, we're looking at the Office of Human Rights, but I think really we're looking at all of us. I think we're looking particularly at, as I said, the formal and informal governance of our community that is presiding over these trends. The stories that we heard tonight of people getting pushed out of this community, people who cannot live where their parents or grandparents lived. Those are the tip of the iceberg. What are we doing about it? Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last speaker I had. Is there someone else who would like to speak? Could you send up a blue card, please? We will wait for you. Jamila Simon, please.
Jamila Walida Simon. I am a resident of the Village of Groton, and I am also the chair of the current Tompkins County Human Rights Commission. And I want to know, just who do you think you are? Just who do you think we are? Karen Bear received a notice from this body on October 26th, which purported to schedule the hearing in Ms. Bear's case in just 1 week, in which it made clear that the county administrator had personally selected the hearing officer. The notice was defective for the following three reasons. First, the county administrator, Joe Mariani, himself appointed the hearing officer who will determine the outcome of the charges against Ms. Bear, notwithstanding the fact that Ms. Bear alleges that Mr. Mariani was personally and directly involved in the discrimination and retaliation against her. This is in violation of the New York State Manual of Procedure for Disciplinary Actions, which provides that the appointing authority should not be in any way involved in this investigation. And if the appointing authority is substantially involved in the investigation or bringing of charges, he or she should recuse him or herself. Given that Mr. Mariani is substantially involved in this case, he needs to recuse himself. He cannot appoint the hearing officer, and he cannot be the ultimate decision maker on whether Ms. Bear is subjected to discipline. Similarly, neither Mr. Mariani's subordinates nor any other county official who is personally involved in this case can appoint the hearing officer or review the hearing officer's recommendation to ensure impartiality and to avoid all appearances of impropriety. But in this county, I'm not sure if that's going to happen. The power to appoint the hearing officer and the review that the officer's recommendation must be delegated to an independent county official or employee, such as a union leader protected by a contract or department head in a competitive, non-represented position. Second, the hearing was scheduled without providing Ms. Bear the opportunity to exercise her rights to inspect the evidence that you intend to proffer against her. And most definitely, I can't imagine that there would be any. Third, the hearing was scheduled without Ms. Bear providing adequate time to issue subpoenas, which must give witnesses reasonable notice of a hearing date. In order to ensure a fair and impartial proceeding, a new hearing officer, which has no ties to Mr. Mariani or any other implicated county official, must be appointed, and the hearing must be scheduled with sufficient time for Ms. Baer to review the evidence and subpoena witnesses. So I ask you, who do you think we are?
Thank you. That's the last card I have. I don't see anyone who wants to do another one. In that event, I'm going to close the public hearing on the 2018 budget. And I'd like to thank you all for coming, those who spoke. Particularly, I want to thank you for your comments. We will be taking this up probably for action on November 9th at our regular meeting, talking about our budget. Thank you.